What is going on, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Season 2 On Fire Podcast. My name is Sabrina, and I'm so thankful, super grateful, and super, super excited to be doing another episode with you guys. It is almost 8 o'clock in the morning, which is like the earliest I've ever filmed. Today is a very busy day. You know, in an hour I have to head out, and when I come back, I don't know what time that's going to be. And again, it's just a very, very busy day, and I knew that once I got back home, I was going to be really tired. I didn't know if I was going to be able to film an episode or do any of that, so I was like, you know what, let's just go ahead and get it done in the morning, bright and early, and let's just fight through it. So I'm so sorry if my words are not made clear. It's still early, but again, I'm trusting in God that He is going to get His point across through today's episode. But before we go any further, let me just go ahead and recap a last episode called Call to True Repentance, which we talked about a parable to help that and to break that down in Luke 13, where it talks about true repentance and why Jesus like emphasizes and shares the importance of what true repentance is and how He calls us to do that. That it's not a one-time thing, you know, when we come to Christ, you know, oh, repent from your sins, you know, go to God. Yes, of course, but it's not just a one-time thing when you're entering into God's kingdom. It's literally a daily thing that we need to learn a true repentance. Again, that it's not a one-time thing. It's a daily necessity, something that we need to train on and practice on. And that's something the Lord has revealed to me, is learning genuine repentance, that I shouldn't be doing this and doing that and not coming to repentance after that. And that was a very rebuking and conviction moment from the Holy Spirit. But if you guys are curious about that episode, make sure you go check that out. And once you're done, make sure you come back here, because I don't want you to miss out on today's episode. As you can tell by the title, it is called Monkey See, Monkey Do. Now, before you already start asking questions, I didn't understand what God would place this in my heart to talk about, because obviously monkey see monkey do is pretty self-explanatory. We've heard it our entire lives, but I've had this episode, or at least this idea of an episode, for like a good couple months. I would say almost a year now. You know, I have like a list where like I just write down a bunch of stuff that the Lord reveals to me, you know, to talk about, whatever it may be, and this was one of them. And I didn't know how else to put it. I was like, should I change the title? Should I not? Should I keep it this way? This is, you know, this is gonna be a little weird, you know, self-explanatory. But I wanted to break it down what the self-explanatory means. You know, I want to break down the saying that people keep, you know, that we use in today's world, or what it means spiritually, because I believe God has something planned for this spiritual saying, or whatever way, however we use it. Amen. So without further ado, let's just go ahead and jump right into today's episode. So monkey see, monkey do. Again, self-explanatory, but just a little bit of history. You know, it's a saying that originated in Jamaica in the early 18th century, and it popped up in American culture in the early 1920s. So this saying is like the ability of someone to mimic an action without actually understanding it. You see, the saying refers to learning something by mimicry without understanding why it works or being concerned about the consequences. So it's literally copying without thinking. So this saying that sums up how we learn peer pressure and curiosity all in one phrase. You see, whenever we do something that we had seen someone else do, they would say monkey see, monkey do. And that is something I grew up around a lot. I was always up my sister's butt a lot. my older sister, I was up her butt a lot of the times. You know, wherever she wanted to go, I wanted to go. Whatever she did, I wanted to do, without even thinking about it. Like, she knew, like, she had an understanding behind the consequences. She knew, but me being me, you know, I wanted to copy her because I looked up to her, I loved her, and I thought she, you know, she was the best older sister. I'm not saying that she isn't, but, you know, when we were younger, she probably wasn't the best. To my eyes, she was always something, someone so important to me. She still is. And I just cherished her so much. I wouldn't say I idolized her, but I just loved her so much. And I wanted to be a part of her so much. I wanted to copy every single thing that she was doing. When, like, her doing something, I was like, I don't really care what it means. I just want to do it because she's doing it, you know? And I feel like that's a quick testimony that I shared. So, like, I don't know. I just feel like the Lord placed in my heart to talk about that for some reason. But she has always been everything to me. I, especially as kids, you know, I looked up to her so much, like I said. And I feel like in this situation, in this spiritual analogy, I feel like, not that she is Jesus, but in this situation, it's like Jesus was represented by her, if that makes any sense. So it's like when we follow God, we love Jesus, you know, we cherish Him. And we want to do everything he's doing. You know, if he's telling us to do this, we want to do it, even though it may be hard. And exactly as the saying says, we may not actually understand it now or how it can affect us in the future, but we want to do it because we're seeing it happen. And like, as much as I saw my older sister do this and do that, and I just want to follow her everywhere, monkey see, monkey do. You know, if she dropped a pen, hey, I'll drop a pen. You know what I'm saying? So it's like with Jesus, if he were to do something and we see how much, we just see him work it. And then the Bible says we are to reflect him. Monkey see, monkey do. We want to do it even if we may not understand it now or how much it can impact and affect us in the future in a positive and beautiful way. You see, in John 13:13-15, it says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I am your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one's feet." So again, presumably, real monkeys are prone to copy what other monkeys do. Certainly kids are prone to copy what other kids do. Jesus applies the same principle here. We should do what we see him doing. And I feel like the disciples are a beautiful example of what Jesus was doing. Again, with the Apostle Paul, he writes in 1 Corinthians 11:1, it says, "Follow my examples as I follow the examples of Christ." You see, to imitate them, we must live life as a living sacrifice. If to imitate Jesus, we must live a life of living sacrifice, meaning we have to give up things that may seem important to us but won't help us grow in the kingdom, won't help us grow spiritually, and we have to give that up. There are things that we are in a habit of doing, but to follow God, he wants to break habits, he wants to break traditions. And there are times where we can't hold on to the, you know, worldly precious things, or, you know, the historical things. You know, sometimes we have to let those things go, whether it's mentally, whether it's physically, whatever it may be. We have to live as a living sacrifice, meaning we're ready to give things up because we're humble and submitted to our Lord and Savior. So we can imitate Christ by obediently walking in his footsteps and by showing love and thankfulness to him, by keeping his word, by keeping his commands, by keeping what he teaches us, which is the Bible. Amen. And I feel like in my walk with God in the beginning, I didn't understand what a living sacrifice meant. I thought I had to be an Isaac or something, and just, you know, someone had to try to come kill me, you know, like Abraham and what he did with his son Isaac, which obviously, if you didn't know, spoiler alert, Isaac survived. Okay, Isaac didn't die. The Lord stopped anything before any murder was about to happen. So I feel like that's what I seen as a living sacrifice, you know, growing up and knowing nothing, not really knowledgeable in the word like that. You think sacrifice is a lot of men automatically death, and that wasn't it. You see, the Lord had taught me there are things I had to, you know, step away from, that there are things I had to break, you know, habits of maybe getting on my phone bright and early in the morning, you know, just waking up not even thanking the Lord or acknowledging his presence or just thanking him for letting me live again. That it's not, people say you only die once. No, sweetheart. Or you only live once, or something like that. Or I have the sayings like you live every day. And I forgot how the saying went, but it's things like that that people take for granted. And that is something the Lord really wanted me to come out of as a living sacrifice. He wanted me, you know, sacrifice my time for him, you know, sacrifice, you know, I'm a big TV show girl, so I love to watch TV shows and play games and do this and do that, especially TikTok. You know, bright and early, I'd get on TikTok, get on YouTube, or open up the new Netflix show. And he's like, sweetheart, no. He said, you can't be doing that. You got to break that habit. You have to live as a living sacrifice. And we can be that by obediently walking in Christ. And that's something I had to learn in the beginning of my walk. And again, just going back to the idea of seeing whatever my sister was doing, I wanted to do. So I feel like we as Christian, as children of God, because again, it goes back to the idea of kids do this a lot. You know, you see adults here and there, but we have more of like that knowledge of like, oh, we know better because, you know, the consequences. But as kids, they're not really thinking about how it's going to affect them in the future. They're thinking about the now, like, oh yeah, you know, if I do it now, it's okay. And sometimes they may not understand it. They're just doing what other kids are doing. Because God calls us the children of God, because he calls us his kids, we are prone to do the same thing. You see, we're supposed to have a childlike faith. We're supposed to walk in faith like a child. You know, child, they don't really think too much. They don't really stress. They just do them. You know, they just do what they're told. Well, some of these kids are bad, but that's a different story. You know, kids, they just have an idea. This is mindset of trusting so easily. Like, they can be like, they're not gonna come up to us and be like, yo, mom, did you pay bills? Mom, are we going to have food today? Mom, do we have enough groceries? Like, they're not going to be coming up to, unless your kid is like that, then hey, that's a very responsible kid. But these kids are not going to do that. If you just ask them, I'll give you an apple later, they're going to trust in that and they're going to remember that. And most kids won't beg as much, but there's some kids that are like, okay, I trust in you, you know, because you're my parent, because you love me and I know you'll take care of me. And God wants us to act in a childlike faith. So kids are prone to do what other kids do. So why can't we be prone to do what Jesus tells us to do? Not what the world says, you know, because there are bad images, you know, as it says in Romans 14:3. It says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. You see, don't be the monkey causing another monkey to fall. Like, this one hits really deep for me because, you know, there are scenarios that would happen recently and I wasn't really being Christ-like. And it's so crazy to even say this out loud. I mean, I've said it before, but to this ministry, to this podcast ministry, it doesn't really look good, especially when you're preaching God's name and you were doing everything for God's glory, and then all of a sudden you're not really showing the fruit of the Spirit. And I feel like this was deep for me about don't be the monkey to let another monkey fall. Don't be the dodo to let the other dodo fall, pretty much. And that's what I did. I was a big dodo and I led someone else to become a dodo and taught them the wrong ways. You see, there was, again, a scenario, and I wasn't showing the fruit of the Spirit, and it deflected on my sister, my younger sister, who, obviously, in the same scenario, feels the same way, but she had a better, like, she handled the situation better. And for me, I wasn't able to, you know, I wasn't able to show the fruit of the Spirit. You know, there are times where I just lose it. I wouldn't get mad or yell or anything. I just lose it. And I had an attitude. I was very ugly about certain things. And my younger sister, she was better at it, like a lot better. But once she saw me doing it, she started to do it as well. And I would get upset, like, why are you doing this? You know, that's not okay. You know, your attitude is not pretty. You know, we got to work on this. And I kept it, like, how am I supposed to? Thankfully, she didn't come and rebuke me first. And so, you know, I wish she did, because it probably would have clicked to me. But she didn't really call me out on it, because she knew what she was doing was wrong. But I wasn't examining myself whatsoever. I was leading her in the wrong way, especially when God entrusts you with the ministry. You know, for me as a youth teacher, I'm a youth teacher, I need to set the right examples. You know, I have a higher responsibility and a higher account at that. You know, when God places you on a different standard, or as you grow in new levels and you, let's say, are like our pastor or an apostle or a prophet or whatever it may be, you know, the consequences and the punishments are more harder than anyone else, because that is a position that God has given you. He's entrusting you with this, so your responsibilities are higher. Therefore, the consequences are going to be more stricter. You know, He's not going to be lenient on you like He is the other people, because you should know better. And I feel like I knew better, and I caused the other monkey to fall. I caused the other monkey to do something without them realizing, like, oh, like, they didn't, weren't understanding the consequences of how much it was going to affect them later. I wasn't understanding how it was going to affect anybody in the future. I was just thinking about the now. I was thinking about how I felt and what I saw, and I was just going based off of that. So I was the monkey that caused another monkey to fall. They saw me do something and they decided to do it as well. And I feel like that's a no-go. You know, we need to stop misrepresenting Jesus. Stop being hypocrites. I feel like there's so many people in the world who are not coming to Christ because they're just people who are reflecting the name of Jesus in a bad way. You know, there are times where I feel like I've met so many people who say they're Christians, who believe in God, you know, who pray, who sometimes read their word. That's already a red flag. If you sometimes read your word, you're not really going to learn how to reflect Jesus or really hear the voice of Jesus speak to you. Because if you don't read His word, this is something I picked up yesterday on TikTok, but people are always asking, how do you know if it's God's voice? You need to read the word so you know how He can sound, you know, like the things that He's going to say to you. Because if you don't pick up your word, you're not going to have an idea of what He may sound like. And I'm not talking audibly, you know, like tone wise I'm talking like specific things that He will say to you. That's how you'll be able to distinguish His voice, to know that it is Him speaking to you. Again, it doesn't have to be an audible voice like mine, but just an idea of what He can tell you because of His word. And I feel like a lot of people are red flags because they are not staying in the word daily, or they're not reading it daily, or they're not at least trying to read God's word. And I feel like those can be considered hypocrites. You know, the Pharisees are one of the most, you know, people in the Bible who are considered hypocrites, you know, the religious leaders, because they, yes, they were priests. God ordained them to be priests, you know, wherever town they were at. They were priests. They were high priests. Yes, God placed them there. But they took advantage of the situation and they thought it'd be best to fit into their own personal lives, you know, their own fleshly desires, you know, to be called the Most High. You know, they looked for titlement. They looked for, you know, royalty. They looked for people to honor them. You know, they were only caring about themselves. They became greedy and selfish. And I feel like a lot of people think because I'm a Christian, oh, I'm better than anyone else. Like, that could be pride in your humility, if that makes sense as well. But I feel like we need to stop misrepresenting Jesus, stop being hypocrites. And I feel like I can testify to that, because not that I'm saying I was being a bad Christian, but the fact that I was not showing the fruit of the Spirit, and my sister picked up on it and she decided to do the same thing as well, to act the way I was acting towards a certain person or towards a certain situation, I caused her to fall. And I thought everything was okay. I thought everything was fine, which is obviously a no bueno. In Galatians 6:3, it says, if anyone who thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. So I thought, okay, I'm not that perfect, but I'm being the good Christian. I'm thinking I'm handling the situation, you know. I'm thinking I'm doing something here, when really I was only deceiving myself. I was only lying to myself. I was only stopping my spiritual growth. I was the only one hindering, like, I was the only one bringing hindrance to that. And therefore, I brought hindrance to another person. And I think it's super important to know that we represent Jesus in a beautiful, beautiful way. And that is by reading his word. We can't pick and choose what we want to know, what doctrine to follow. We can't pick and choose when we feel like we want to walk with God. It's either you're in or you're out. It's not in the in-between. You know, there's a saying where it's like, someone had like shared this, and this is all over social media, so you probably have heard it, where a man, he's saying that there are two sides and there's a gate in the middle, and there's some, you know, where the light is, and there's some where the dark is. And he was like, I'm just sitting in the middle, like I'm sitting on the gate. And then there, you know, there's like the devil and there's like God, right? And he's saying that, you know they separate, right? And then that's when the guy was coming back. He's like, oh, I missed one. He goes, no, I didn't go with you. He's like, I'm in the middle. He goes, oh, well, the gate is mine. You see, when we're walking with God, we can't just be, I mean, yes, we're always going to be lukewarm. We're always going to have our times and troubles and stumbles, of course. But we have to pick and we have to decide and choose what we're going to do wholeheartedly. You see, I feel like there are lukewarm Christians who are really trying to have a hard time learning from God or really growing with God because of the situation they're in or whatever attacks the enemy is throwing at them. And then there are other times where a lot of us just choose to be lukewarm because we just pick and choose what we want to do. Like, that's the difference. And I feel like the Lord really was telling me to stop picking and choosing what word I wanted to follow, which is crazy and insane to me, because I thought I was fully devoted, but I was only deceiving myself, thinking I was doing something, thinking I am something when really I'm not, as it says in Galatians 6:3. And because we misrepresent Jesus, and this is something I want to hit, like, when we do that and we're not reflecting the love of Christ, it stops unbelievers to receive Christ. You see, because we are called to reflect Jesus, and they know that we are called to reflect Jesus, and we can't at least do that in a loving manner, it stops their blessing. It stops them to receive God. It stops them from inheriting the kingdom. First and foremost, it stops them from being delivered, first and foremost. Because when you ask God to enter into your life, oh yeah, that's game over. The demons tremble. The demons are fleeing. The demons like, oh no. They're like screaming and crying, you know. They don't want to go back to hell. There's many deliverance videos where the devil is pleading with the person who's, you know, praying over there. Like, no. The demons are like, no, I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back. There's so many videos of demons doing that because they don't like going back. They try to find bodies to live in so they don't have to live in hell. So the demons don't want to live in hell. Why do I want to live in hell? Like, that's where the demons are supposed to be at. They don't even want to go back to where they're supposed to be. What makes you think I'm trying to go back there? What makes you think I'm trying to go there? Amen. But I feel like when you're accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the demons are already trembling. Deliverance is going to happen. You are going to be set free, because in that fact you accepted truth, and the word says that the truth will set you free indeed. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So when you accept Jesus, you're already accepting the truth. You've already acknowledged the truth, the way, and the life. And God is three in one. You're accepting everything in one. So there, deliverance is happening. And we have to reflect Jesus in a loving manner and by the word of God to bring deliverance onto people, because that's the way Jesus is going to be represented, through love, through the fruit of the Spirit. And that's something the Lord has really placed in my heart, is the fruit of the Spirit. So let us not become stumbling blocks of others. Let's reflect Jesus so that people can see. If I'm going and praying for someone and I'm with my youth students, they may not understand it now, but they're going to go and pray for other people because they've seen me do it, because they've seen that God has placed me in a position. They respect the position just as we respect our pastors in their position, because God has appointed them in that role of the church. As whatever we see them doing, we're going to pick up on it. You know, as associate pastors or as, you know, leaders of the church, you know, we see that upon the pastors or upon these people in the church, and we're going to reflect that. Newcomers, people who want to believe in Christ, are going to look for us. People who hate Christ, who don't want anything to do with Jesus, are going to wait for us to stumble and pick up on that. They're going to say, oh my gosh, that's a bad Christian, that's why I don't follow Jesus. They're waiting for that moment, because anybody and everybody is going to be looking at you. They're going to be watching your steps, even if it's not a daily, if they're not stalking you or whatever it may be, they're watching you to see if you're going to slip up, if you're going to continue to walk in his ways. They are going to be continually watching. That's why it's so important to see what Jesus is doing. And we can't see it physically, but we can read it. And I have a good imagination, so I just picture it all in my head. But we can read the word of God, and his word is live and it is active. It breathes life into us, as it says in 2 Timothy, I believe 3:16-17, that it breathes life into us, that we are to just follow his word. So Christians are called to represent God through actions, words, and thoughts, so that others may see love, kindness, and grace that God has brought into their lives. And I'll end off on this scripture. It says 1 Peter 2:21, it says, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Again, represent God through your actions, words, and thoughts, so that others may see the love, the kindness, and the grace that God has brought into their lives, has brought into our lives. It is a beautiful gift to represent Jesus. And if you don't see it as a beautiful gift, then hey, you better change your eyesight right now and ask God to open your eyes spiritually and open your ears spiritually and your heart and everything above, because it is a beautiful gift to represent Jesus. And he chose us to do that. Out of all the people in this world, he chose sinners to represent him. And I think we should really look at that again. So without further ado, that is it for today's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. It's probably shorter than usual, and I hope that God's point, Jesus's point, was point across today, that you understand the true meaning of monkey see, monkey do. You know, Jesus, see Jesus and do Jesus. Amen. If that makes any sense. And I hope that, again, this episode made sense. It is still early in the morning, and I just pray that God made it very clear to you, or even if it was a good reminder to hear. It's always beautiful to remind yourself the word of God. You know, it's a repetitive thing, and I think it's so beautiful that we get to have that. So I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. If you have any more questions or any suggestions for future episodes, make sure you get with me on the social media platform that's down in the description, and contact me for anything that you have. You know, if there's anything that I said that wasn't clear or something you want me to elaborate on in today's episode, make sure you reach out to me. And if you have any prayer requests, I'd love to be praying for you. Go ahead and send in some prayer requests. I'd love to be praying for you. There has been people who have sent in some requests, and I'm so grateful that they are trusting in God to trust in me to be praying for them, and it just shows a lot. Again, thank you all. And yeah, that is it. I hope you guys enjoyed it, and again, I hope it made sense, because I'm still pretty tired after today's episode, but I can't go back to bed. I have to keep going. I have to keep working, you know. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. I love you all, and I can't wait to talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.